The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
You know where we're going to go? We're going to keep things on an art buzz now, and we're going to go to Venice and to Italy, and we're going to talk to Francesco D'Amasto, who you will know as an architect, a historian, and of course a TV presenter of wonderful BBC programmes like Francesco's Italy Top to Toe. So the reason we're going to talk to Francesco is that this week a 17-foot replica of the Statue of David by Michelangelo was loaded onto a lorry in Florence to be transported to Dubai. Now, this replica is a really, really exact replica created using laser scans and 3D printing. It even includes the chisel marks and the stains of the original. So Francesco is going to tell us a bit more about it. Buongiorno, Francesco.
Good morning from Venice, Brendan.
How are you? You lucky man. Listen.
Here is a magical Sunday.
Yeah.
With the perfect weather to sail around the lagoon.
Yeah, and listen, no tourists.
Not tourists, but sadly I cannot go today because I had to do a little pit stop replacing a hip, but this time not yet with a 3D printer.
So are you in hospital or you're replacing a hip?
No.
Did you say?
They send me home after 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Incredible.
Okay, that worries me now because I think of you as roughly the same generation as me, and if people like you are getting their hips done, I can't be far off.
I think I did too much. My life, sir, is too much, and I destroyed everything.
Did you? Well, I hope you had a good time doing it. Did you?
Yeah, it's great. No, they did a marvelous job, anyway.
Good.
Let's see what happens. I'm still using, you know, the things on the side, but in 10 days I will
the
take them away. I had enough of them.
Okay. And you're in, of course, I know your house and a lot of people will, a beautiful old kind of palazzo home in Venice. Is that where you are, yeah?
I'm in the studio, yes, exactly.
Okay.
I'm still here, waiting for the next flood. Like a captain.
So tell me,
waiting.
Before we get to David, tell me a little bit about how is Venice without the tourists, and as a local, do you prefer it this way?
Oh, wow. I think that during this period, Venice is living like in a bubble. You know, it was something like, I remember, was something like 1 year ago that doctor told to the politician we had to stay home. And that was quite strange. And everything started to be stopped. And also going out was a little scary because people thought that was the air that was polluted, that was giving this virus around. So I was a little also scared the first time I went out. But and now the town is quite empty because, you know, Venice in the last few decades became a town more dedicated to tourism. So missing them, the town is quite empty. It's more empty than when I was young at 5 years old.
Yeah.
It's strange. It's quite strange. It's like living in a Canaletto painting of the 18th century.
Yes.
When there are just rowing boats and all the water was flat, and you could see the image of the palaces reflected on the calm water of the Grand Canal.
Wonderful. So
quite strange, quite, yeah, now that the life is coming back, you see people going around, there is old women in the bars taking the place of the tourists, then the dresser opening up, there is people with the trolley, but everything is a little motionless. I was the other day in St. Mark's Square at 10:30, there was just one person there. And it seems to be like in the desert or something. You know, when you are alone in the desert. And,
yeah.
And if you meet a person, you say just jumbo and nothing more.
Okay, wow. So yeah, I can picture that stillness. And tell me, are people in Venice thinking now that when all this is over, they would not like Venice to go back to the way it was with the cruise ships every day?
That is a really big question, because in all this period without the tourism, many people lost their job, lost the many shop closed down. So from a certain way, I think they will try to regain what they lost in this period. But I hope that they will understand that in this year that we have to judge, to understand that we cannot go too much in that direction. We have to go to the speed of nature and not to go over the natural life of a town.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose it's that word sustainable, finding a sustainable form of tourism.
Yeah, there was the last, just 2 weeks ago, there was a law from the government that said that they were banning the gigantic cruise ship from the Lagoon of Venice. But just 2 days ago, there was an article in which they are coming back in May. So let's see what is going to happen.
Okay.
You know, we live day by day. I think it's 1 year we are living day by day, waiting to see what is going to happen next.
Well, listen, let's go from day by day to the eternal. And before we get to this replica, tell us a bit first about the original Statue of David, maybe the background to it in terms of what was going on in Florence at the time.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because the use of David, the protagonist of one of the most famous episodes of the Bible, when there is a shepherd David, with a simple sling, killed Goliath, started in Florence. It was when the Medici was ruling Florence, and they wanted to show the world how great they were. And so they began to turn the city like the trophy of their success. We have to think that at that moment there was Milan and Rome, that they were very strong. So for the Medici, the idea of David was the David against the Goliaths of Rome and Milan. And in a certain way, David became the unofficial icon of Florence, in which they put all their faith to show they could manage to be stronger than them.
Okay, and then in terms of the he became a great symbol for Florence, and in terms of the statue itself, then what is it that makes it such a masterpiece? I suppose it is a more thoughtful David we see here, isn't it?
I think that there were other David before. There was one by Ghiberti in the baptistry, and the one by Donatello. But I think that the one of Michelangelo, that is the real masterpiece. It is the ideal of the masculine beauty or in art, a symbol of faith and courage, triumphing against the violence. Looking at the face of David, he's triumphant. You see the light dancing on his face. He's ready to the fight. And when, if you look at the face of him, you see in him, he's ready to the fight. But in a certain way, if you look at his face, there is some fear in what he's going to do it. It's something that is like David is representing the human race. He's representing us, that are trying to make something bigger than us. And I think he's a good image, a good message to understand how strong is a human being.
Uh-huh.
And we have to understand how strong we are. And at the same time, we have to have a good relationship with nature, maybe.
Yeah, and tell me then about this copy that is being sent to Dubai. It's been a lot of technology gone into it, and it's a very exacting copy.
Yeah, they started to do this copy some months ago, but 20 years ago they did a copy. I think it was Stanford University. They digitized the statue. But now with this new scanner and laser that normally they use for the wind machine, they managed to scan every detail, every nail of everything that is on the statue of the original one of David. And so it was divided in three phases. There was the scanning to create a three-dimensional digital twin. And then there was the 3D printing of the various parts that they were 14. Then they had to assemble it. And now they are putting all together. They are refining it. And now is the big challenge. The big challenge was the last one. They had to cover him with marble dust and glue to make it exactly how it was the original one, to give a soul, to give the same pathos that Michelangelo put on the original one.
And Francesco, so to finish up, and I suppose that is the philosophical question here, is if you are looking at this, is it the same as looking at the real David, or is there something slightly different in your experience of looking at it?
I've been different time in Florence, and I've looked the body is quite similar, but I was just looking very carefully the face of the two, of the original and of the copy. In the original, I see he's a little fear going against Goliath.
Yeah.
There is something that is not so sure that he's going to win. He has his faith to do it. He's giving his life to do it. And I don't know if in the face that I saw in the copy, it seems that he has less fear than what there is in the original one.
I love it. So basically what you're saying is they spent all this trouble to get an exact copy of it, but you reckon they got the facial expression slightly
maybe
wrong.
Maybe I saw some wrong pictures in the sense that taking from one side and from the other doesn't give the same emotion. But anyway, I think he's giving the emotion. This is the message. The important thing is the message of David, of how Michelangelo took 3 years to carve that block of marble, and we managed to do with the laser and the scanning in not many days. We made a perfect copy.
Okay.
And it is important that we use all technician technology, and I think this is the first step. Is a first step to something new.
Okay, Francesco De Mosto, an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Ciao.
Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you.